Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Suji DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Azure Podcast. I'm your host, Evan Basilik. I'm joined by my fellow co-host, Russell Young, and our special guest, Julia Casper. So we're going to be talking about the Azure API Center in a little bit. This is episode number 490, and this is being recorded on March 20th. With that, Russell, let's get to the news.
Cool. Thanks, Evan. Just one from me. I know there was a whole raft of AKS
announcements. A whole bunch of AKS stuff, yeah.
And I know you covered some of them last week as well. So the one that stuck out for me today, which I think is really valuable, and this is something I come across quite a lot with customers, is how do I analyze cost within my AKS cluster when it's a shared cluster? And how much of that is infrastructure costs that are shared versus
does container level cost, not node level cost.
Does it by namespace?
Okay. That is
so
cool.
Yeah, you can dive in at that level. Gives a lot richer reporting based on the analysis.
Yep.
Kubernetes construct, so clusters, namespaces, in addition to Azure Asset Cast. Yeah, okay. It's great. And that comes through in the portal. And there's an add-on. I'll put the link to where the instructions are to get on. But I think that's going to be really valuable to put everything into a big shared cluster, which is, but they tend to break down different departments, maybe by namespace, and they want to work out how to allocate charges across those.
Yep. That back charging thing, right, is coming back as a thing. Okay, yeah. Great. Kubernetes and the container realm. It's not just Kubernetes. So let me correct myself. Staying on the container side, we've open sourced a product called Retina. And this is basically about being able to have networking visibility into your containers. And this is cross-cloud, cross-platform. It really doesn't matter where your container is running. This could go. I'm going to try and reach out to the team and see if we can get them to come in and talk about, sort of the why they were doing this. And then the other thing is the Azure Resource Manager changes. So Azure Resource Manager, right, is the core API that you use to access modern Azure resources as compared to the Azure Classic API, which is well along its retirement path. But there have always been some limits in terms of how many requests per second you can make and whatnot. We bumped those numbers substantially, allowing you to do much, much higher request rates through the control plane of Azure. We'll have somebody from the ARM team come on. I need to actually get him on the calendar sometime in the next month or two. And we're actually going to have a bigger conversation about ARM. And this will probably come up during that as well. But we'll include that link, as well as the cloud native container networking one as well when we publish the show. Great.
Sorry, Evan, there was one other one which is quite important, and I just don't know if we covered it last week or not.
Let's assume we didn't, since I didn't make last week and you didn't make last week, so we'll just pretend our co-host didn't cover it for us.
It was just around public preview announcement, those GPU KS.
Oh, I did see that. That is cool.
Okay, so that's another one that's worth pointing. Chips and drivers to your AKS cluster, that's, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, great. So with the news roundup done, let's transition over to Julia. Julia, if you could introduce yourself and tell us what you do here at Microsoft around the Azure API Center.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I would love to. And thanks for having me, guys. My name is Julia. I'm a PM on the Azure API Center team. So we belong to the broader API platform organization here at Microsoft. We are part of the developer division. I keep calling our big sister team is Azure API Management. So we do work with them quite closely. And that's also where the original idea of Azure API Center came from. It was born out of talking to a lot of Azure API management customers and kind of identifying what are some of the challenges they currently have. So yeah, we are a brand new Azure service. We are currently still in public preview. This is about to change though. So be excited for Build this year. So yeah, I'm super excited to be here and excited to hear your guys' question.
Yeah, great. No, it's always cool to hear about new, you know, sort of net new services. But I think you hit on my first question is, help me understand the difference between, like, when I saw API Center, I actually thought that was going to be the evolution of API management. But it makes it, you know, your description makes it sound like they're going to live in complementary sort of worlds. Like, so how do I think about those two things relative to each other? What, how do I know which one to use when and sort of what scenario does it match to?
Mm-hmm. I love the question. It's actually one of the questions we do hear quite often from customers. So first of all, we are in an independent service, so we live by ourselves. So customers can go and just have an API center within their tenant. But they can also, or the idea or the vision is for both of our service to work complementary. So ideally, if you're an Azure API management customers, the next step or the next evolution, as you mentioned, Evan, is to think about Azure API Center. So what are the core differences between these two services? API management is an API gateway. API Center is not a gateway. We are an inventory solution. We are API governance. So we are not a gateway. I think that's the biggest difference just to call out. API management, as I mentioned, it comes with a gateway. It functions as a gateway. It is made up of a management plane as well. So all of the nice things around policies, accessing these APIs, this is where you want to look at API management. And it also comes with the developer portal, which is focused on internal and external developers. Whereas API Center, as I mentioned, we are an inventory solution. Our main focus, our main audience is internal use cases. We are the tool that API platform teams at our customers will look at and they are like, okay, we need to better understand our API ecosystem that is not just on an Azure API management gateway, but we want to bring in all of these different APIs that live across the organization. And that's where they will look at API Center for inventory and governance reason mostly. We also have a layer of API discovery, which I mentioned in API management. They have a developer portal. In API Center, we have the Visual Studio Code extension because we are mostly focused on internal use cases. That's where a lot of the developers we have talked to, they said, oh, if you're an internal tool, I'm already in my IDE. I want to explore. I want to find these APIs and do stuff with it. So that's where we leaned heavily on the Visual Studio Code extension in terms of the discovery and consumption piece. But yeah, we also have an API Center portal that comes with it. We are currently shifting away from providing this as a built-in functionality, but we do offer a way if you want to spin up kind of like a marketplace, you can do this. We are offering guidance and how customers can do this. Ideally, at some point, maybe together with our folks from API management.
Can I just play that back then? So if I've got API Center, presumably I need somehow to register my APIs with that so that it's got references to and links and knows where stuff is. But as a developer, once that bit's been done, I can go into Visual Studio Code and I can say, add an API that does X, Y, Z, and it will figure out for me where that sits and give me some, what information does it provide me to help me at that point?
Mm-hmm. So in Visual Studio, we focused on the discovery and consumption experience. So the API has already been registered in API Center, either via GitHub Action Item, via CLI, so it's already there. And the developer goes into Visual Studio, they open their API Center Visual Studio Code extension, and there they see a list of all of the APIs that they can now consume, that they can now discover. And because we are partnering with our folks from Copilot, one of the things we have seen a lot of customers struggle with, I mean, we are not talking about five APIs here, which would be nice. You see five APIs, you know what the use cases are, but most likely you see 100, 200 APIs there. So from a developer standpoint, they are having a tough time to find the right API for their use case. But that's where we are leveraging Copilot, because as a developer, I can just basically mention, oh, this is the use case, or show me some of the APIs that are have to do something with animals. And because we are leveraging Copilot and we are actually searching through the API specs, there's a higher or a better accuracy of for you to find the right API for your use case. And yeah, it just shows you, here is a bunch of APIs we would recommend for you to test out. So then you can go and you see the documentation. We have Swagger UI rendered into Visual Studio as part of our extension. You can go in, you can see the different operations. If you have access to the API, you can even test it as well. And then in terms of the consumption piece, we partnered with Kyoda to generate an API client. So let's say you found the right API, you know what you want to do with it. The next step or the next evolution is, now I want to integrate with it. Maybe I have a web application up and running and I need to make a call to a certain endpoint. That's where we want to make it as easy as possible. So that's where we leverage Kyoda to generate, easily generate the client based on this API.
That sounds great. Sorry, you mentioned Copilot a couple of times. Are you referring to GitHub Copilot?
GitHub Copilot, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I can see how that would really work well, actually. GitHub Copilot already will suggest APIs and endpoints that exist out on the internet, which is really good. But if it's first being able to help me by looking at stuff that's within my organization, that would be.
And something we've heard a lot from customers is, I think a lot of the marketplace currently, or the discovery tools currently, it's based on API name, maybe the summary, maybe the description. But we've gotten so many asks about, well, what if you just search through the API specs? And I think that's where we can really leverage the power of GitHub Copilot, because the specs are there. We are able to search through them, and it just gives a better accuracy of finding the right API here as well.
This is, as I listen to this conversation, I start out in one place, right? Because I was thinking about API management and whatnot. But this is really about making life easier for the developer to make sure that they can find and then use the right API for their scenario, right? Because the situation is, infinite is probably too big of a number, but there could, like to your point, there could be hundreds of APIs internally, and one or more might be right for me. But instead of having to rely on, hey, my colleague told me about this one, or I found it by searching the local intranet or whatever, I found it and I just go sort of find the first one I have. Now you can see the catalog of them. They're coded, they're tagged, they've got metadata, they've got this additional information in the, that Copilot, an AI is pulling out of the actual APIs. Like, just give me a much richer experience to make sure that I'm using the right one at the end of it, right? That's really the business goal that you're trying to solve. Am I following that right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely for our layer of discovery and consumption, our main target areas are the developers. If we look at the other layers of Azure API Center, and I mentioned the inventory part or the governance piece, that's where our target audience and where we are in a lot of conversation with API owners or API admins. Typically, especially big, large enterprises, they have an API platform team that are handling all of the API pipelines. They are in charge of API governance. They want to have, and that's where API Center as a tool comes in. They need this one place where they can, for one point, store APIs, API specs, ideally, maybe even additional information. And that's where also API Center comes in with the concept of custom metadata. So there is a way to store these additional information, which a lot of these platform teams have told us and talked to us about, that they need this because, we are talking about 200-300 APIs here. So from a transparency perspective, it just makes their life easier. And especially if you look at API governance, that's one of the big areas where we see API admins' hearts, or whenever we talk to them, they keep on smiling to us and they're like, oh, this is great. Yes, this is what we want. So
Yeah. But I mean, this would basically allow me as an API owner to say, hey, this is prod. This is not prod. This is, useful for, if I understand you right, this is useful. You can use this for internal consumption, but not external, like those kind of scenarios, so that I can control that use.
Yes, okay. Yes, 100%.
great.
So that was, so this is, I've got loads of questions now. This is quite exciting. I'm just thinking about, as a developer in a large organization, I can see the benefit of this, but I might be a developer that works in a subset of that organization. And I only want to be able to access stuff that's relevant to me. I don't want to see all of those APIs. So is there a concept of different catalogs within the API center? And is there on the flip side a way of people that register their APIs saying this is available to these groups of people?
Mm-hmm. I love where this is going, because all of these questions, it's definitely something that it's coming up, and it just gives me from a PM perspective the right indication. Okay, the things we are looking at right now, it makes sense. So we started off with just exposing all APIs. We worked very closely with one of our customer here who said, oh no, like we are more of a smaller-ish shop. It's fine. Everyone can see this, especially if it's internal use. But now that we are expanding and more customers are using our product, exactly these conversations are coming up. So we want to make sure that we have a concept of kind of like access control within API Center. So you can define as an API admin, oh, I have, let's say my marketing organization only is allowed to show these APIs, or is only allowed to leverage and consume these APIs as well. So you, Russell, as the marketing developer, you want to use the Visual Studio Code extension, but you only want to see the APIs that you should be seeing. So that's something we are currently working on, just because it has been a big request from customers as well.
Right. Yeah, I can see how that could work. And what about third-party APIs as well? I mean, is there the option for me as an organization to say, here's an API that we consume from somewhere else? Maybe it sits on premises, or maybe it's a cloud SaaS service somewhere. Can I add that into my API center to say this is available to this development group?
Mm-hmm. So our vision is with API Center, you can bring in any API, we don't care where it's deployed and what type of API it is. And that's where the inventory piece really shines. You just can easily register these APIs. You don't even need to have an API spec. We would love to see that, especially from an API governance perspective, but we do understand, especially third-party APIs, maybe you just want to quickly create this just from an inventory perspective to have it in your API catalog or your API center. But yeah, our vision is definitely bring in any API. We don't care where it's deployed, what type. So you really get the benefit of having this full transparency into your API landscape.
And if those APIs expose Swagger or OpenAPI standard, is that automatically kind of consumed? Do you bring that into your catalog, or do you just refer to the one that's already published by the API?
Mm-hmm. For you, for example, if you think from off the Visual Studio Code extension, for you to have this nice rendering experience in Visual Studio Code, currently we are reliant on an API contract, which is open. Well, we are reliant on an open API contract as of right now. So if you want this really nice testing or discovery experience, we do need the open API spec. But I think that's also where the beauty of our collaboration with the GitHub Copilot team comes in, is if they have the information about the API, maybe they could even discover this API out there, because if it's a third-party API, maybe it's public. Maybe based on this, we are able to auto-generate the open API spec for you, so you can even have a better inventory itself as well.
It is, it's always sort of funny. Each of us as hosts come from different backgrounds, so some different questions and different perspectives come up. But as I think about this, because I'm a little bit more of an infrastructure person these days, this is fully a SaaS. I guess it's SaaS, somewhere in between SaaS and PaaS. Like I don't have to deploy. Actually, let me ask you differently. I don't have to deploy any infrastructure to use this, do I? Right. The infrastructure is all completely managed by the service. It's all abstracted for me. I'm just managing my catalog and publishing the metadata. I don't have to deploy virtual machines or anything to manage. Like I do that for APIM, right? I have to potentially deploy resources on it. That's not the case for API Center.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah. And that's, I think, again, where the big difference is between API Center and API Management. And in all of it is one of the first questions. And I typically, whenever I am in customer calls and they are like, well, this is what they need. So at the beginning, I always start with, well, do you need a gateway? Do you want to deploy your API somewhere and then manage it and have throttling and policies? Because then, as much as I want to, but we are not a gateway, we are the inventory solution. So it's, thanks for bringing up the question, but yeah, you're correct. You don't need to, well, we are an Azure service, so you have to manage the Azure service itself, but it's not, we are not a gateway, we are not a VNet.
So how do you get going with it? How do you get started? How do I provision one of these things in subscription?
Mm-hmm. You just go into Azure, search for Azure API or API Center, and then you click on create and you can spin it off. And one of the feedbacks we've gotten from customers is, as of right now, it comes empty because the idea is for you as an organization to bring in your APIs. We moving forwards, and especially for GA, we want customers to have a better onboarding experience. So that's where we are looking at example API that comes with API Center as well, just kind of for you to familiarize yourself with the different concepts in API Center as well. And then another thing is for a lot of the customers to get started with, and that's where us collaborating heavily with our big sister team API Management, we have functionalities to quickly import APIs from API Management, because that's where the original or where a lot of our customer base is from as well. It's typically APIM customers who have multiple different APIM instances up and running. And for them at some point, it just got so complicated, no transparency. So that's where, especially for next semester, we will focus heavily on having a great APIM and API Center story.
Yeah, that's great. I'm really keen to get going on this. I'm gonna have a play with it, because it's something, since when it was first announced, I thought this is great, we really need this. And just having a look through the docs and seeing some of that, how the Visual Studio bit works, how the portal looks, it's the first time I've seen it just in the last few minutes. It looks really good. I'm
awesome. Yeah, I'm mostly excited about the governance layer as well. I know we didn't talk about it that much, but for me, and starting with this project, API governance, it's not a sexy topic. Let's be honest. Like every developer you talk to, they're like,
though, oh, right? But it is. Yeah. It's necessary. Yeah.
And every developer you talk to, you're like, oh yes, it's something. Yeah. Every time at the end of me developing my API, I have this one API admin pinging me about API governance. So personally, my goal is, because I do have I have a developer background, is to at least make it a little bit easier for developers and shift left and make it more intuitive for API developers to get a hand of API governance as well. So right now, we just recently introduced a feature which is called API linting. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the concept, but essentially it means APIs have contracts. The most commonly one is OpenAPI, and especially a big enterprise customers, even at Microsoft, that's where we all started. We have certain rules how our OpenAPI specs should look like, how our contracts should look like. And this is usually a huge pain for developers. They're like, okay, yes, I'm building my APIs. And at the end, they're like, well, there are certain rules you have to follow. So two things we are enabling in API Center is, once from an API admin perspective, we have a reporting. So you can enable API linting in your API Center. As an API admin, I can then go into my API Center. I have, let's say, my 200 APIs there, I can quickly run a check and see which of these APIs are following my organizational rules and standards. But then from an API developer perspective, and that's where our Visual Studio extension comes in, if I'm already developing it, I'm in my IDE, maybe before publishing it, maybe I just check on these API governance rules.
Yeah.
So with the Visual Studio extension, because you like, we know the rules, we know the standards, you can quickly and easily check if your API contract is aligned with your API guidance and standards.
Yeah. This has been really, really great. I mean, I love the VS extension, the VS Code extension, GitHub Copilot chat integration, because those are the key touch areas for any developer at the moment. The fact you've got that out there is
Yeah, and the governance, I think your statement, Julie, about the governance is funny because that's the piece that always comes up at the end. And that's the piece I was like, oh, crap, that's going to keep me from shipping because I got to go meet this standard or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's so expensive and so difficult to retrofit that stuff in. It's much easier if you have it up front. So really, actually, that probably leads to my my last question, which is, you know, it sounds like you're recommending that if I'm building an API, I should be registering it with API Center, like right up front, so that I get some of this goodness around the governance at very early in my process, not as compared to like, hey, the last thing we do before we ship is register with API Center. It sounds like I should be doing that up front to get a lot of the benefit of what you're building.
Yeah, and you actually, as a developer, you don't even have to register it right away, but at least check your API governance beforehand and then register it afterhand. Of course, we would love, I mean, feel free to register your API.
So I can even basically lint it before I register it, but you're still sort of getting the benefit of doing that together, right?
Oh, totally. Yes, yeah, yes. Okay. You don't have to register it. You can just kind of run these rules by the API you're currently developing, as long as you're using the Visual Studio Code
that's
extension.
Even better.
But then, so we did realize we need multiple checks because, yes, as much as we would like to tell the story that every developer is now going to check on the API governances, we just know it's not true. And it's fair. Like we are all busy. Sometimes you don't even know about this, which is also like fair. So that's where we have, ideally, our first instance is the API developer who checks beforehand registering it, but then also after they've registered the new API, they have the API admin, kind of like the last instance to see, yep, this makes sense, check.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's great. Well, no, this is awesome. I appreciate the intro and the education. Any last minute thoughts that you want to leave our audience with?
I think, so we are in public preview, which is such an exciting journey, especially from a PM perspective, because we are at a stage where we actually iterate very fast and where we bring in new features. We want to test this. We want to get customers' feedback from it. So I think the call out is please try it and provide feedback. And don't feel like, no worries if it's harsh feedback. I've been sitting in customer conversation where they basically told me, this doesn't work, this doesn't work. But this is actually feedback
that's what
we
you
can
need.
That's what you need. And we are all here to make the product better. So anything that comes, and it can be a tiny thing, which, like, I think yesterday I was in a call where somebody's like, no, this table looks stupid. And I was like, well, let me know how we can make it better. Even if it's like such small feedback or something doesn't work, I'm pretty sure there are more people out there that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't work for them as well. So we rather want to get the feedback in as soon as possible before we are going GA, before we are releasing new features. Feel free to connect. Let me know. Always happy to jump on calls.
What's the best way? Is there a public, a public forum or someplace that they can reach out, or what's the best way for customers who are trying this to reach out?
So we have a public available GitHub repository with a good README. We also have issues. So I've seen a lot of customers posting issues there, which is being monitored by us, by our engineering team as well. Or on LinkedIn, I've had customers reaching out to me directly via LinkedIn. It's just fine as well. Any channel or via you guys.
Happy to pass anything along for sure. So, okay, great. Well, yeah, no, we'll include those links in the show notes for the audience. But this was great. Thank you very much for coming on, Julia. This is great to hear.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Julia.
See you, folks.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.